for adult themes and strong language. This is The Curse of Penance RPG.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Curse of Penance RPG. Who are you and what is your favourite video game villain? Starting with Bellray.
Well, honey, I am Karen Lebowski, number one best parent in Barovia. By default, I'm single, looking to mingle. Maybe I will find husband number 3. Or maybe just little fling. My favorite video game villain, because I feel like Karen doesn't play video games, so I'm going to drop the accent and get real with you for a moment. This is the real me talking here. Probably Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2, because he was one of those guys that he's a massive villain, but you can't help but like him. He's just very well written, and he had a magic pocket. Well, it wasn't magic, I guess. It was a scientific pocket watch that did things.
Okay.
Also, he scooped a man's eyeballs out with a spoon and laughed at him, and he thinks he's the good guy. And he named a diamond horse Butt Stallion.
He named a what?
He named a horse made out of diamonds Butt Stallion. And then in a DLC that's based around a sort of D&D campaign, Butt Stallion is the princess.
Ah.
Yeah.
Amy.
Hi, I'm Amy. I play Megara. She's our human rogue, and I have a thing for squeeze boxes. So Meg's picked up a squeeze box. She also has some alchemy goggles, and she likes to fiddle around with making bombs and stuff. And I would think my favorite gaming villain would probably be Hades from the game Hercules, also the Disney movie Hercules.
Don't remember that one personally, but okay.
Yeah, it was pretty fun because you had all the little cameos from the different characters and stuff. It was really funny.
Is this the PS1 one?
No, it was on PC, I think.
Because I remember picking up the PS1 one again off like the PSN store, because I had it when I was a kid, and it was really hard.
Holy yeah, shit. They're really hard, like the final level when you're like trying to get to like Mount Olympus. Took me ages.
Final level.
Is it as good as the Aladdin game?
I don't remember the Aladdin game. Right. I don't think I played that one.
I would say yes, with my vague, vague memory of the Aladdin game.
The Aladdin game was one of the best. It was far better than any right to be. Anyway.
It's mainly because James Woods is just awesome.
Yeah. AJ.
Hey, I'm AJ. I'm playing Osmond, tiefling, in search of a non-folksy musical instrument. I guess my favourite video game bad guy stuff, I guess, probably Revolver Ocelot, because they gave him like a weird arc throughout the series of games. Like, he starts off as just kind of like a sort of generic kind of cowboy bad guy sort of dude, and then because it's Metal Gear, things get progressively weirder. So add a bit of depth to him.
Cool. And Rosie.
Hi, I'm Lexa. I'm playing Rosie the human fighter, and I'm gonna go with my favorite villain being Edgeworth from Phoenix Wright, because everyone loves Edgeworth.
Okay. I should probably say at this point there's no Tubbs this week because he is busy doing something in real life.
Grown-up stuff.
We don't really know what they are. But.
Real life. Where you have responsibilities and things.
Yeah, work stuff.
Don't let you wear real hats as well, Barry.
I know. Real life is where I lost a hat.
So, now we've got that out of the way. What happened last week?
Previously on the Curse of Penance RPG.
We visited the winery and it had been ransacked by a cult of orgious hippies. Is orgious a word?
It is now.
Yeah, sure. And the hippies, we found them. They were having an orgy. We tricked them into believing that Karen was Mother Nature or some hippie shit like that.
Yeah.
And then we fought a tree because hippies.
We fought an ent. I think it was an ent, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was a lot of panpipe music going on, which Osmond didn't approve of, because, you know, obvious reasons. got taste. And yeah, I think we beat the tree, but then we got a crystal back to the people at the winery, buried it in the ground, and things started to grow again. And
guys, what happened to Shania?
Shania's in the lake.
No, she was long dead. She forget about Shania.
Yeah, she was taken by the lake.
So you finish up at the winery, and you begin to head your way back towards Kresk. And on the road, you bump into Rictavio, who is on a small cart himself coming this way. He greets you, as you'd expect, and he asks you how you're doing. What do you say?
Pretty good. We've got some wine, so, you know, it can't all be bad.
Okay.
It's Rictavio again, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll have to remind me.
The guy you bought the guitar, well, you ordered the guitar off of. In
well,
Malachi.
He hasn't delivered yet, has he? So
not yet, no.
How's the axe coming along, my man?
He tells you that he has it for you.
Oh, hey.
But he asks you, first of all, when you were leaving Valaki, did a teenage girl at all come to you and try and get a lift with you?
How old was Shana?
Not sure, maybe.
I'm pretty sure she was like in her 20s.
He says, no, not Shania. I remember who Shania was. This is one of the Valaki nobles' daughters.
I don't think
so. We found her, didn't we? We found her kidnapped and we returned her.
We found a dead one, like in a tree.
In a tree?
Yeah, we returned her. We returned the corpse.
You found a dead one in a tree?
Yeah, there was a whole story about a fishing guy who was clubbing people's heads open and trapping them and then draining their blood.
And this was a teenage girl?
Well, she was long dead, but...
She was like 7, wasn't she, actually?
She was a girl.
Quite young.
She was pretty beat up when we found her.
Oh, okay. He mentions to you in sort of joking passing that since she disappeared, which was around the same time you disappeared, the Burgomaster has been put under much strain, shall we say, to find this girl, going so far as to abandon the Festival of the Sun and instead replace it with the Festival of Finding Children.
Sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah.
There's a lot of missing children in Barovia. I think it's about time somebody did something about it.
Well, if you're finding a children called Tyler, just sort of leave them where they are.
Just leave them where they are?
He knows what he did.
Yeah, he's very independent. He's strong-willed like that.
I see.
Out of character, did we run into anyone?
No.
I didn't think we had.
Out of character, no, but it's another thing that's happened.
Well, if you need someone to supply the drinks at the festival, we've got a car and...
Yeah, we got the Noel hookup. Suspect Edmunds.
He asks you what you were doing at the winery.
We were fixing things.
What kind of things?
Wine things.
Yeah. Alcoholic.
There was a party of some description that got a bit of a hand.
Yeah, oh. And Tubbs couldn't even get laid at an orgy.
Not the taking winery part, was closing.
By the way. I mean, some things were definitely in hand.
He looks at your hands and he's just like, okay. Look about him. He strokes his very goatee-ish beard and then tells you, well, how about we go back to my tower and I give you this guitar I have made before I forget again? I have a business proposition I could probably do with sharing without the prying eyes of... He sort of looks around and then sort of hushes talking to you and sort of leans down and says, they have spies everywhere.
You ain't some kind of wizard, are you, son?
No, I don't seem to like magic very much.
Because I'm pretty sure Will was told about a wizard with a tower who was doing some screwy stuff.
Oh, him. I'll talk to you about him. Are you following Rictavio?
Sure, I mean, I've got to get my guitar, haven't I?
For the next 2 days, you follow him along this road, and you go past Kresk, and you're about halfway back to Valaki, when you go up this steep hill and come to this dilapidated looking tower. As you walk in, you notice the stairs have completely collapsed, and he walks over to one side, seems to push a small curtain out of the way, revealing a rope ladder leading upwards.
Huh.
After about 5 minutes, you have all climbed up this rope ladder and are sitting in this quite nice looking tower guard room where there's a simple bed and there seems to be like lots of bookcases all around. Rictavio himself sits down in a comfortable looking chair and says, "Right, I suppose I need to talk to you about what's going on here."
"Yeah, man. I mean, I've been waiting so long to get a guitar back and I'm just so pumped about it."
"I don't think that's what he's getting at."
"I mean, that's why we came though."
He tells you that he is indeed Rictavio, but he is in fact not a like jester of sorts. He is in fact a witch hunter.
Ooh.
And recently the lack of witches has caused him to sort of spread into killing beasts and great creatures and the like.
"Hey man, you gotta get paid, right?"
"Yeah." He also tells you that he's been training this apprentice for the last 5 years and she's doing okay, but he occasionally likes to keep an eye on her, make sure she's not... She's got quite the ambitious streak about her. And he heard that she was going to hunt this crazed mage that roamed Barovia. So he followed her into Barovia, not realizing that he himself would get stuck since he can't leave. So now he's stuck inside Barovia. He has basically made it his thing to try and work out all the evil shit that's going on and try and do what he can about it. But he needs to find his apprentice, protege, whatever kind of name you want to refer to her as, really.
Padawan.
So he asks, "Would you be willing in exchange for this?" And he pulls out a very finely crafted guitar.
"Oh.
In exchange for this, would you clear out a small camp of bandits for me?"
"Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody here, but I will."
Rosie grins and she's like, "Fuck yeah."
So he hands this guitar to Oz.
I just sort of absentmindedly strum like a chord, check the intonation and that. How's it sound?
It sounds pretty damn good.
Sweet.
He tells you that he has been keeping his eye on several like pockets of problems in Barovia, and there seems to be a lot of child kidnapping going on in Barovia. He doesn't really understand why. But most of it seems to have dried up in recent weeks. He's again not really sure what suddenly caused it to stop, but something has definitely impacted things.
"Well, we killed a bunch of people who were taking children. I don't know if that helps."
"Yeah, we did burn down that windmill full of old ladies."
"Yeah, they were like real big on taking children."
He tells you he did notice that the dream pastry woman has stopped appearing in the town, and you see the anxious ones of Valaki wandering around, twitching quite violently now.
"You wouldn't happen to have some sort of bounty on the dream pastry ladies, would you?"
He sort of takes out a scroll of his in his back pocket and looks through them. "Not for her, no, not for any of them."
"That's a shame."
He does tell you that he badly needs to find his assistant, but he has two very small spies who work for him. He introduces one of them to you, which is a raven, which is sort of standing on a stance behind you that crows at you, and he tells you this is his familiar, and that it spies for him and has recently noticed that the bandit camp in the northwest has not only started to be more aggressive in kidnapping people, but has also become more aggressive in attacking caravans.
Well, someone needs to deal with that.
Yes, so he tells you as well that this morning, a large group, what must be the majority of the bandits, seemed to leave, and they went off in another direction towards Valaki. But he doesn't want to go in to the camp himself because he badly needs to spend the time finding this assistant of his. So, in exchange for the guitar, he asks, "Could you please check out what's going on in this bandit camp?"
"I mean, yeah, I'm down."
"Yeah, I'm always one to help those in need." And I, like, look around shiftily.
"On one condition."
"Hmm?"
"For me, anyway. Can I pet the bird?" "Can I pet the birdie, please?"
He looks at the bird. The bird sort of, like, caws happily, and you walk over and start petting it. It seems to enjoy affection.
Meg's quite taken with the bird, actually.
"You're going to suddenly take out the guy and take his pet?"
No, I'm not that bad. Meg's not going to have, but not that bad. She's like, "Oh, pretty."
He walks over and he also pets the bird a little and he says, "Yes, I have a habit of losing animal familiars to people who like them more than me. I've already lost my monkey and my cat."
"You had a monkey?
And a
cat?" "Yes, I had a large orangutan." called Piccolo.
Together, the cat and the monkey.
We might have some information on where the monkey is if you're willing to pay.
Oh, he's in the toy maker in Valaki. He's very happy there.
Oh, damn it.
Don't ask, you don't get.
I'm not sure where my cat is. It seems to have wandered off somewhere, but it'll make an appearance at some point.
I don't know if we've seen any cats.
No, I don't think we have.
Oh, you'd know this one if you saw it. And he sort of grins. So, he takes out a small map and shows you where this bandit camp is. What do you do?
Well, how long is it going to take us to get there? My first question.
It will take you maybe about 2 hours on foot.
That's not too
bad. It's not very far away from here.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
We will set off.
So you send down the rope ladder and you head off to this bandit camp.
I mean, guys, we're really going to do this? Like, I was just saying that to keep him quiet. Like, we could just go.
Well, I want my guitar.
We got the guitar, don't we?
Well, yeah, but you know, guitar's a guitar.
He'll pay us, is he?
Did he not give you the guitar?
He did, but you know, I'm not a dick.
Yeah, well, Karen is.
Never know, I might need this service, you know.
But Karen, think of the stuff. We might get some nice stuff.
I mean, I do like stuff.
I don't know what these people might have. They might have, like, jewelry or smoke or...
Where'd he find such a nice guitar anyway? I ain't seen no luthiers around.
Exactly!
I think he said he was building it, didn't he?
He made it.
He did say he was going to make it for him.
Yeah, you know, this is a custom job. You got to reward, like, decent workmanship like this.
And pay him.
Mumble, mumble, grumble. Mumble, mumble, grumble.
So, you travel towards this bandit camp, and as you get close, you notice that it's a, like, palisade-style building with, like, wooden walls, obviously, and on the gate there is, like... It looks like they've tried to make a wolf. It looks like a really crap, like, Lego-style wolf head.
A really crummy wolf.
Yeah.
Is this something to do with... What was the wolf guy's name?
Oh, the dude in the cupboard.
The dude in the...
Wolves are people too!
Yeah, I'm getting serious vibe of that guy again.
Hope it's not him.
There are two guards basically standing at the gate itself. They both seem to be swaying a little and passing a bottle of some kind of red liquid back between the two of them. What do you do?
I mean, should we try and, like, pretend like we're going to join up and then, like, betray him?
Maybe.
Wait, what are we doing? Are we going into a town?
Well, do we want to deal with these guys, or do we want to, like, just try and bypass them entirely?
Yoo-hoo! You know what? Me and all those girls here like you, big boy. We like watching men jump off from hot tall hats and survive, and that gets us really riled up.
The wolf!
Don't we, girls?
Oh, yeah!
Let's see how they react. The first guy's really into Karen. Second guy... is not into Karen at all. So the second guy grabs the bottle of the first and says, No. If you're going after that, I get the rest of that.
Meg pulls out her squeeze box and starts to play a tune. It's like, we can provide some entertainment too.
Okay, so the second guy grabs the bottle. The first one drunkenly starts stagging over and grins at Karen. What do you do?
Grin back and wink.
As he whispers, oh god, what if he dies?
I'm going to whisper to Rosie, just go with it and play a little tune.
I'm going to attempt to represent the intention.
Oz, are we going to have a jam?
Yeah, as much as Oz doesn't really approve of squeeze boxes, he's going to do his best as a professional to play along.
Okay.
Well, Oz, want to prove me wrong that your squeeze box can get you laid?
So Karen might be getting that shortly.
Are we, like, rolling to distract them, basically?
If you roll and see what effect it has on them. Since you've got the exact same number, yes, you seem to be playing very much in tune with each other. The drunken guard that's making advancements on Karen starts to sort of, like, try and seductively, like, flash beneath his armour, whereas the other one behind is just shaking his head and just going, oh, for fuck's sake.
internally, Meg is laughing her ass off.
Why don't you just jump down here? I'm sure I'll catch you.
One of them's at the front of the gate, so he's like walked from the front of the gate towards you. And the other one's still standing at the gate. They're not on top of the gate or anything.
He was on the gate.
You were trying to kill a man.
You're trying to get him to jump off the top of the gate.
Yeah, because like these are two bandits that we need to get rid of, right?
So, now you have one like advancing towards you and the other one is not looking because his head's in his hands. What do you do?
Can I go up to the guy who's like really embarrassed of his friend and just ask him really casually, hey, can we like come in?
Okay, roll. He sort of,
oh dear.
No, you're not dressed right to come in.
Oh, we didn't realise there was a dress code to get in.
It's a dress code, bro.
We're friends of the wolf. And he sort of pokes at the wooden thing
and
above his head.
We make have fur capes.
Yeah, but that's not friends with the wolves if you're wearing it.
We rescued a guy who was friends with the wolf.
Wolves are people too, Rosie.
Yeah. Wolves are people
well, you
too.
You can't
yeah.
say that while you're wearing one.
We're such good friends with the wolves that the wolves lack us that much that they gave us those furs.
Yeah, they were gifts.
So.
Because we played an awesome set and. They got the
Ben.
The wolves just enjoyed it so much
that they skinned themselves.
Yeah, well, no, you know what they say, you know, music soothes the savage beast and all that.
Yeah, and they were dying anyway. It was a tragic story.
And speaking of giving your friends gifts, we happen to know a little guy called Edmund who can hook you up with all the wine you want. And I like fawn over the guy who's like super into us.
Oh, don't be giving away our wine.
So the guy who's into Karen is totally into Karen. Basically, like sort of like, and Karen's just sort of like standing there stroking his face.
It had to happen sooner or later.
And it's dedicated to wolves because their name is
Wolf Patrol.
Wolves are people too.
Anyone has a better name, please suggest it.
I think that's perfect, actually.
Wolves, we're the Wolf Patrol.
We are the Wolf Patrol.
Hello, Barovia. We are Wolf Patrol. Yeah. I'm fine, Steve, right?
Good evening, everyone. We are Wolf Patrol. This is gonna be fucking brutal.
Yeah, that way.
So, yeah. So, the one with the advancement is basically like stroking Karen's hair now and being really into Karen. The other one's just like, yeah, okay, I guess you're kind of into wolves. Are you wanting to join?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're here.
Oh, okay. You'll have to give all your stuff over. We've been told what? We're not allowed possessions anymore. We need to sell them. We don't have much money.
Oh, nice. You obviously haven't heard the latest memo, man. We're now allowed stuff.
Are we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the wolf said so before he gave us his game.
Which one allowed it? Was it Emil or Carol?
The second one.
Yeah.
Oh, did you win some fights?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we
definitely won some fights.
Oh. Iron here is a real champ.
Oh, have you, he sort of points to the bottom of his thumb, between his wrist and his thumb. He sort of points there. Have you got the, you know... Mark.
I very quickly turn to the guy who's really into his, like, what do you see? We have a little wrestle to show him how good we are fighting, hon.
Alright, roll. Karen ends up getting pinned down on the floor with her legs up over his shoulders.
Oh god.
Was this the plan? I don't think this was the plan.
Because now that the rest of you are practically watching the live fuck show of Karen Berkey in the car.
Can we just go in?
Meg packs her she's got in her pocket and just rolls over and like pulls the guy off of her.
Really?
Like, respect, dude!
Well, because we're wrestling, can I punch him in the nose?
Oh, okay. If Karen doesn't do it, I'll...
I think Karen's just dealing with herself. Yeah, roll to punch him in the nose. Okay, let's see how he reacts. His eyes start watering. He sits up off you and he starts crying.
Oh, dear. Ben, I thought you was a bit more hardcore than that.
Not how you treat a lady, though, Karen. Never mind.
There's no you treat a lady or a Karen.
Whatever Karen's deal is.
So, I assume the rest of you are just walking in then?
Yeah, I'm not going to give up my stuff though.
Okay, yeah. He gets a bit confused when you don't show him the mark, but he's just like, alright, okay, in you go.
Kind of acting like I didn't hear him.
I feel like I should like bring the guy in and comfort him as we're going in. I feel kind of bad for making him cry.
So you stand up and you take him by the hand and he's pissing blood from his nose.
Can I kiss his nose better?
If that's what you want to do.
Just like a little peck, he's not getting that much. Do I roll to peck?
Yes. You kiss him on the nose, he howls more and runs back towards his friend. And his friend just laughs and hands him the bottle of wine.
Well, I was looking for a man, not a boy anyway.
Yeah, that was strange.
That was well played, Karen.
Yeah, good job. Now we're inside.
Yay!
Everyone except Karen's inside.
Karen's gonna go inside.
Okay.
So, after calling him a pussy.
You head inside and immediately it's obvious that this place has had some really hard times. There's mud and like it basically just feels like it's very poor area. As you look to the other end of the bandit camp, it seems like there's been some very shoddily put together barricade walls put up that seem to segment like two reasonably sized portions of the bandit camp off from the rest of it. You continue walking around, the huts that are here look like they've seen far better days. They all seem a bit dilapidated, a bit on the, like, maybe they had a little more, like, support and stuff like that, but whatever they can tear off of it, they have done, like, for either fuel or to sell. So, you're in a very, very poor area. What do you do?
These ain't looking like very successful bandits to me.
Yeah.
Maybe we should rethink joining them.
We're in a wolf cult that's distracted them from their normal activities.
Do these people seem like the kind of people that are like causing trouble for what's his face? Whatever the guy's name is. I can't remember. I'm terrible with the names.
Rick
the guy we met.
Yeah.
Rick Tavill.
Yeah.
Rick Tavill.
Rick Tavill. Rick Tavill.
Do these people really Ricky. Look like they're Ricky? Yeah, Rick Ricky. They don't seem they're in the position to jump.
Well, unless they've gotten desperate, so that's why they're acting up more.
I mean, that guy at the front gate didn't seem that tough.
He did seem
I don't see him kidnapping anybody.
You walk to the, kind of like the main square of the camp, and you see a very collapsed bonfire, and next to it there's like a bulletin board kind of thing, and on it there's three posters, like, nailed to them. The first is one that basically just says, Emil. And there's a very strange portrait of a very wizened man with his arms folded. And below it, it says, your illustrious planner. And the one on the opposite side says, Kirill, your fearless leader. And again, it's basically like a propaganda style poster of a man with like flowing black curly hair. And he seems to be standing in a dramatic pose.
Does he look pretty like he's got some good ideas and he's going to fix this place?
Both of them seem to look that kind of like, they're basically look like electro boards kind of thing.
Right.
On the middle one, in very scrawly text, it reads, there will be a gathering on this date. Everyone will journey to Valaki. We will kidnap X number of people, and we will attempt to find out who this person is. And you see a drawing of what looks like a youngish girl. Looks a bit teenage.
I mean, that's pretty incriminating.
Yeah.
But I thought the gate guy said that Errol and Emil were like wolves, not people.
No, I think these people just like worship wolves, if that makes sense.
So you were thinking it was like one of their metaphors?
Yeah, yeah. It's a, yeah. What's a metaphor? Cut that out, it was a terrible joke.
No, that can be the tub science that we are missing sorely from this episode.
Okay, to the right of you at the moment, you see the barricade has been painted some sort of like blood red colour, and there seems to be like a door leading straight through, guarded by a reasonably hulking looking man. Like, he's not too big, but he's kind of a bruiser style thing.
I want to pull out a scrap of paper from my pocket, and on it I want to write a drama wanted, contact Meg or Osmond, and I'm going to put it on the bulletin board before we do anything else.
Yes!
Idea.
Okay. Good idea.
And to the left, there is, like, the wall has been painted blue, and there again is a gap through, but this seems to be guarded by two very thin looking men that obviously have, like, a couple of daggers on their belt.
Was the bonfire, like, burning, by the way?
Bonfire is burning, but it doesn't look like it's got much fuel on it.
Can I light a cigarette on it?
You can, yes. Roll to see okay. if you singe your hair. Nope, you're fine. Karen has learned many times how to light her hair with a bonfire.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure she's quite good at lighting things at this point.
So, there's the red wall and the blue wall. What do you do?
Both the walls have a dude.
One has a like large guy who looks like a sort of like bruiser style guy, and then the other side has two very scrawny looking men with knives.
Okay.
So we'll either have to punch a big dude, or we have to fight a couple of stabby dudes. Or we could talk about past them.
Yeah, let's try that first.
Okay. Do you think that bruiser looking dude seems... Do you think we could outwit him in a conversation?
I don't know, it looks like it has drummer arms.
That's true, we don't want to burn that bridge before we build it.
I dated a drummer once, they have big arms.
Let me guess, that was Travis Florentino.
Yeah, Mick's dad.
Was he before or after Mick?
Yes. Was it the same time?
Yes.
Is that all you're allowed to comment on it, Karen?
I mean, it was short-lived after Mick found out about it.
Stay classy. That...
So, what are you doing?
Let's talk to the big guy. He's on his own. And
you
it,
walk over to the bigger guy. He sort of grunts when you come over, and he points to, again, between his thumb and wrist.
Okay. I kind of give him, like, a just 1 second. I turn back to the others and say, guys, I don't think we're going to get anywhere without the whatever symbols on these the arms of these people.
What does the symbol look like on his wrist?
He doesn't seem to have it.
What did the guy who a fight fucked like his look like?
None of them had this symbol. It just seems to be pointing somewhere between his thumb and his wrist, and it seems to be that he won't let people in unless they have this symbol.
Right.
We need to find out what the symbol is.
Can I take my cigarette and make a little burn on my wrist and be like, my symbol got burned off?
Or if we had paint.
Roll to bluff, Karen. Yeah, all right. So you walk up and you say, oh, my symbol got burnt, and he kind of goes, and he gestures you in. So Karen has walked in, everyone else has been refused entry.
God damn it.
Completely ignoring the smell of my own burning.
Look, Karen.
I just like wave back at them from over the wall. And I lean up against something and enjoy my cigarette. Because, I mean, I got pinned down and then I punched a guy in the nose. That seems like as good a reason to have a cigarette as any.
Well,
I suppose we're going to have to try in the other guys then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't smoke and I'm not really willing to burn a hole in my arm.
I do, and I don't want to burn a hole in my arm.
Well, I do it for you guys.
So, is Karen going to do anything or just stand inside smoking?
I am going to just enjoy my cigarette for a little bit.
Okay. So for the rest of you, what you're going to do while Karen's just sort of meandering is just standing within eyeshot of going inside, doing nothing.
I'm going to blow
making
smoke
rings. I'm sorry. Rosie's making a presentation to the guys about how I can burn them.
Well, like a PowerPoint presentation.
He's just pulled like an easel out of nowhere.
No, it was pretty hardcore.
What, she burnt her own flesh?
What if I heat the tip of my sword? And it'd be quite sterile, do you think?
I mean, no. But, I mean, feel free to try. But, like,
He's going first.
Well, I'm assuming that, like, these dudes can all see us doing this. I'm surprised that Karen got away with that, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe we could just kind of write something rather than actually burn ourselves.
He was probably distracted by the lack of top.
Do I have any, like, grease or anything on, like... I'm just going to, like, put my finger in some mud and draw the symbol on my arm and...
What symbol is it you're drawing?
The symbol that the bruiser guy needs. Well, and be, like,
flash
that. I
don't know what the symbol is because none of you have actually seen it.
Oh, okay.
That's what just I said. Like, the bruiser doesn't have it. The two guys at the entry didn't have it and Karen didn't have it. She just said it got burnt off.
Oh, okay.
Kind of looking around, can we see anybody who's obviously got one?
You can have a look and see.
Then I will.
Yeah, that's how it looks.
You look around and you struggle to try and find who might have the symbol, because the only people who are here seem to be like sick and elderly who don't seem to have the mark. You then notice the two guys standing at the blue wall both have something on their hands. Do you want to try and examine it?
I want to, keeping an eye on it, I'm going to go in for a high five for one of them.
Okay, roll.
You never leave a guy hanging, you know. Not only will I hopefully find out what this will also be a measure of how cool these guys are.
Okay, never. You go up and you say, high five, brother! And one of them pulls a dagger out and says,
I think that this one wants to be tortured.
Oh my word!
I just want...
Definitely not cool.
The other one sort of smiles and rubs his hands and says, yes, we could cut off his horns.
I've got like an alternate plan for you guys. How about you don't do that and you both get fucked?
You're in our camp.
Your plan? Well, you know, we can't always get what you want.
What is your name?
Tubbs.
Tubbs. Make a note of that one. Tubbs.
And the other one takes out a pad and starts writing down.
Weird.
We will call for you, Tubbs, when the iron is hot.
Well, cool. I mean, see you then, I guess.
I'm going to quietly pull Osmond back and be like, is that baby a witch?
Sorry, there's a witch baby?
No, I said, is that maybe a baby?
I was going to say, if there's a baby, Osmond would have stabbed it by now.
Hey now.
Is that
maybe?
We've
made it three episodes without a reference.
Is that maybe a witch?
Maybe a witch. I mean, it could be.
Because that was just creepy.
Yeah, but really they just kind of offered to torture me. And I think I got away with it because I didn't give them my real name. You know, so there's no way they'll ever find, you know, Tubbs around here.
Do you have your name sequined on the back of
this jacket? I do.
I just remembered that. That's your last name. Go with it as your last name.
Yeah.
Tubbs Osmond.
Yes.
It doesn't say Osmond on my back. It just says the Osman. So, like... I had forgotten I was wearing that.
That's why you need to be like Karen, just not wear very much at all.
No identifying clothing or marks or anything.
So, roll to see if you notice what the symbol was while they were delightfully telling you they would torture you.
Yeah, I mean, that was my whole deal, was I was trying to get them to be gesturing and hopefully see it. 15. Yep.
You notice that both of them seem to have a triangle with an eye in the middle of it, like at the bottom, at the base of their thumb.
I feel like we've stumbled into an Illuminati camp, New World Order, that kind of stuff. If you don't know what it is, I've got some internet videos I can show you.
I've seen videos on the internet.
Loose change.
She's supposed to be spying for us, or something.
Yeah, well, I know what the symbol is anyway.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, those guys have got it on their, like, hands. So you don't need to kind of burn yourself now, is what I'm saying.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, but, you know, go ahead if you want to, but I'm not going to tell you how to live.
So, what are you going to do now?
I mean, did it look like it was kind of cut into them, or was it like,
it
did it look more like a tattoo?
Like it was a brand that's long since faded.
Okay, I was thinking like we could fake up a tattoo or something.
If you just vaguely looked like you had some kind of mark, that it could have faded a long time ago, as long as it looked genuine, it would be alright.
Okay.
Got any pens? Pen curls, things on us?
Just quick draw of the eyeliner pencils.
I mean, that could work. Especially if we're just flashing it, like, you know, they're not going to be, like, looking at it too closely.
Us, them. She holds out her wrist. Is that where it was?
It's like at the base of the thumb, I think. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it shouldn't really be too noticeable then.
We just flash it like we're...
Yeah, so we could use like a bit of dirt or something, or...
I'm also conscious as well as that we're still stood right in front of these guys talking about this.
Yeah, let's like shuffle away slightly.
Yeah.
So can I just roll perception to have a look around the town?
Yep.
Oh, you fucker!
It's going well.
I'll just have a quick look in this small house, and you push the door and the door just falls off its hinges on top of you.
Oh god, Rosie! I'm just gonna help Rosie.
Okay.
I just tried to, and it just went so wrong.
Shut this door up, Rosie. All right, Jesus.
Rosie gets up. I'm not gonna try and do anything for a while.
I'll have a look. You rest a bit, and I'll have a look.
Meg has a wander into the house that Rosie like broke the door of. Inside, there is a very simple dwelling. Couple of small books, couple of like simple bed and stuff like that. She finds a red bandana.
Ooh, to go with my. I keep forgetting to call.
The goggles.
Steampunk goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she finds a red bandana. She finds several scraps of paper. After looking through them, there's the one obviously that says come to the town square on X date for this thing to Valaki. And she finds one of each saying join Emil. All you need to do is go through a minor, rigorous, torturous procedure to know your true faith. And then the other one is come fight for Kirill. Win 4 fights, become immortal.
Guys, there's like this fight of like to become immortal. How cool
do you
is
think
that?
That's the one Karen went in?
I mean, I don't know which one Karen would have chosen if she was aware of the two things.
Because I mean, those two seem to be really, like, really horny for torture.
Yeah.
Really horny for horn torture specifically.
I don't want them taking them off, you know. Stay off my horns.
The red one definitely seems to be the Fight Club style, as in Karen is standing, smoking her cigarette, watching two slaves beat the fuck out of each other in a fight club.
Should we warn Karen?
How are you going to warn Karen from the other side of the wall?
No, I'm talking to the guy. I'm talking to Osman and Rosie.
She'll be fine.
She's just going to watch.
She's like, I mean, if anything, she's more capable at beating people up than we are.
True. Karen's waiting for her around.
True, but...
Anything in this house that will help us blend into the town?
Not really. Most of the bandits that you seem to see in this area, as I said, are the sort of sick and ill. So they seem to be, like, dressed pretty much the same as you, only they wear significantly less wolf fur.
If anyone's got any, like, sequin waistcoats on.
They don't seem to any of them wearing sequin waistcoats, no.
They're missing out. It's a hell of a time.
So, let's go with Karen. What's Karen doing now?
Karen is finishing her cigarette and waiting for her round in the fight pit.
So, is Karen going to participate in Fight Club?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Karen walks over and asks if she can join the fight. One of the three guards on him goes, huh? You're a prisoner?
Nah, I just like punch things.
Oh, have you won before?
I mean, I've won fights before.
Oh, okay. You notice behind the fight club there's like 5 or 6 cages full of incredibly scrawny looking people. I guess choose your challenger.
What if I chose you, honey?
Oh,
they all look a bit weedy.
Shows you his wrist and he's got the mark on the base of his thumb and he says, I don't fight anymore.
You're not got anybody not so scrawny.
Well, that's kind of the point. We need to weed them out. Carol's orders.
I mean, sure, if I can end up finding someone a bit biffy, I don't mind doing a little weeding and I'll throw what's left of my cigarette in like a bush or something. I don't know.
Roll to see if you hit the bush.
Oh no, not again.
It's going to be like a forest fire situation.
Yep, Karen misses the bush again. Karen is now 0-2 for missing the bush.
That's not what Meg said. Was it Meg? What was my girlfriend Carney called?
Meg, yeah.
It was Meg, yeah.
It was Meg.
Then I realised that your character was called Meg and I was like, shit, I hope I got the right name.
The less we know about Travis Florentino, the better.
I guess I'll fight a prisoner.
Okay. He sort of gestures you over to choose who you want. And Karen wanders over to look at them. I'll cut back to the rest of you. What are the rest of you doing?
I'm going to try and get in.
Okay.
Is there any, like, charcoal in the fireplace?
You can try and scrape some off the bonfire.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then we can just kind of dab the mark on with charcoal.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Roll deception to try and bypass the charcoal mark.
Why is this happening to me?
I'll just have Meg and Rosie distract the guard enough that Osmond and everyone else gets through. So you're all now through into the red side.
So what do we
you're
see
now
as
about to watch Karen go one-on-one with basically one of the scrawny wretches who Karen recognises from outside of the Red Mill.
Oh, do I? Cool.
Remember there was the big group of what you called pastry lovers?
Yes, I recall.
They have all been rounded up and they're all in cages. And she decides to challenge one of them. So she's now in a pit with one of these, and you hear one of the gruff guards say, "Right, first one to die loses. Go."
To the front of the cage, and she's like, "Karen, what the actual fuck?"
I found a fire pit. And I just crack across the face.
Right. Okay. The scrawny guy swings for you, misses completely. It's your turn.
I'm going to punch him in the kidney.
Okay, rope.
So, just so we're clear, Karen's in a fight to the death, voluntarily.
Yeah.
With apparently a withdrawal pastry addict, because why?
Karen, roll.
Fucking hell.
Karen tries to swing, she falls over. The other guy, he tries to kick her. He doesn't kick her very hard, but she does get kicked in the ribs.
All this mud is really slippy, guys.
Another one. Jesus fucking Christ, Karen. Karen fails to get back to her feet. Oh.
Come on, Karen.
The pastry guy cracks Karen in the face. Her nose is completely busted open as she falls down.
Oh.
So Karen is currently lying kind of conscious in the mud, and one of the guards shouts, "Right, finish it," and throws a knife towards him.
Oh my god, Rosie is going to try and spear the guy from... Is there like a cage?
It is a cage, yeah. He doesn't catch the knife and he drops it in the mud, and he's frantically like paddling around the mud trying to find it while Karen's still vaguely coming to consciousness.
Pick up the knife, Karen.
Do I recognise the pastry lover as the same one that Karen like?
You recognise it as one of the like crazed ones from outside the mill, but you don't have much more memory than that. As Karen is sort of frantically fighting around in the mud, you ask one of the guards what's going on. The guard tells you that someone suggests me a name.
Harold,
okay. He laughs and says, "This will be Harold's fourth win. He gets to become immortal."
Okay, can I climb over and join in the fight? I'm scared Karen's going to die.
Bold
it's
choice.
It's basically like a sort of pit with lots of mud. You can jump in if you want, but...
I mean, it's not my best showing, I'll admit.
I'll jump in with my spear ready.
Okay.
I think we were all quite confident that Karen was just going to, like, own...
Yeah.
The fighting pit.
I was.
Meg's kind of in shock.
Karen got basically busted open by this. I think it was frantically digging through the mud trying to find the knife. Rosie jumps in, so roll to jump in, Rosie.
That nose is my favourite feature.
Rosie slips and falls into the pit. It looks mildly accidental to anyone else.
Might Rosie's spear happenstance land near Karen, perchance?
Roll to see if Karen can recover from having her nose broken.
Yeah, it's fine. Karen's had a nose broken lot.
Yes, okay. Karen rolls over and grabs the spear and stands back up.
Come on, Karen! We're going to shout her on. Karen!
Okay, the guy is trying to find the knife. Still can't find the knife. He's frantically digging through the mud. What do you do?
I mean, can I kick him?
You can kick him if you want.
Stab him, Rosie shouts.
You roll up and swift kick him. You hear a crunching sound as you connect with his ribs. But he sort of rolls onto one side, but he's still digging through the mud to try and find the knife.
I have you know you're the 8th person to have broke my nose.
He draws the knife and swings to you, and he manages to stab Karen in the leg.
Oh my god, Karen used the space! Rosie shouts.
That's my favourite leg.
Your favourite leg? Right, okay. Come on, Karen, roll to see how you react to being stabbed in the leg. See if you can spin back attack him. Natural 20.
Yay!
Karen gets incredibly angry, grabs the spear and just stabs it through the guy's neck. He twitches, falls over and just continues bleeding all over the mud. Everyone starts cheering.
Yeah, go Karen. Kind of just cheering away. Karen.
I'll admit, I've had better showings than that.
So,
you're gonna die!
Rosie gets pulled out of the pit and told that if she's gonna drink, don't drink near the pit. Two guards haul Karen out of the pit and ask which cage she came from.
I mean, I didn't, I just sort of volunteered for the whole thing.
They blink and say, and they look at your mark. Roll me a d20 bluff to see if they still accept your mark as real.
They don't.
They put you in the cage at the end.
Oh shit. It's my spear though.
You put your spear back, yes.
I'm going to talk to the guardsman and see if we can tend to her wound and her leg.
He tells you that the shaman will be along shortly to heal all of those who succeeded today.
He gonna fix my nose too.
He sort of looks at you and says, no, only fixes proper wounds. That just makes you look more her.
In my mind now, Karen's got a face like Stephen Fry.
Oh, God. So,
can I, like, poke a cigarette through the bars and be like, could someone light this?
But you could light sure, matches off anything.
I feel like this has more narrative weight.
Okay, so Karen is now sitting in a sort of muddy pile of blood, mud, and cigarette smoke. What are the rest of you doing?
We need to get her out of there.
Drag the carcass of the other guy out of the pit, and they sort of throw it into a very mass grave at the back. And they announce that they sort of start doing the drawing for who's next to fight.
Oh my god.
Maybe we should wait until this shaman heals her leg first, because, like, I can't heal a leg.
Yeah.
It's cool, I haven't felt this love since we beat that priest's son.
How do you feel?
I feel pretty good. Yeah, I feel like this is like the adrenaline go. I'm pretty happy.
So, what are the rest of you doing while Karen recovers?
I'm just kind of taking in the surroundings, seeing what the layout of the place is like.
Everywhere around you is with lots of furs. It's basically a very combat-heavy side. Like, all the people here who are around seem to be a bit more well-fed, they seem to be more well-looked after than the other ones. But you notice everyone who walks around has that mark at the bottom of their thumb. As you come on the side of the pit, you notice that there's a tent which has a like blackboard with names on it and betting odds. And they seem to have slashed odds recently from paying out quite a lot of money to paying out very little.
Hmm. Do you think that's anything to do with the recent influx of pastry people being like not very good fighters?
Yeah, they're just fodder.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility.
In which case, maybe we should leave Karen in there and then we'll see if we can make any money off of this.
Do you want us to take a dive?
Yes, but Karen's a dive.
You want us to pimp out Karen?
No, not pimp out, more like put her in there as like a ringer, you know, and we can just start betting heavily on Karen and hope that she does better than she did this time.
Somewhere, Hobbs is crying and he doesn't know why.
Somehow, I don't know, Karen, are you okay with that idea?
No, I can't hear you from the cage.
Oh, sorry.
So, as you just discussing this, you see someone in a robe come over to Karen and start healing her leg wound.
Now make it pretty.
Well, we weren't sent here for this, though, were we?
No,
we
sent, totally.
Just kind of deal with this place. I mean, define deal with it, you know.
Technically, becoming the leader of the place could be considered dealing it.
Yeah, but then we could just stop them from attacking people and we could turn this place into like a casino or something.
Take down the two leaders who are obviously fucking these people over, thinking they're going to be immortal.
Yeah.
As you are debating this, you hear a trumpet, and as you turn around, the guy who you recognise as Kirill from the poster walks forward and says, "Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. I know many of your friends are away on our recon trip, but we have a surprise for you that we want to announce to everyone so they can hear us. We have Emil's wife going against the next fight." And they pull this very fighting woman out of a cage and throw her into the pit. "So now we'll see how my brother's wife fights." And he basically pushes one of the like pastry lovers into the pit with her and says, "The odds are now 8-1 against her. Bet lovingly, my friends." And he sits down in a chair and begins to watch.
Hmm.
Weird.
I'm not really cool with this. I mean, Karen's one thing, but this lady doesn't seem like she's much of a fighter.
All of this.
Did you not describe her as a fighting woman?
Yeah, no, but I mean like...
I mean like fighting as in like... want to be thrown into a fight pit.
She's not like a gladiator or anything. I mean, from context clues, I can assume that she was kidnapped and they're making her fight. And, you know, Osman's not cool with that.
I thought people just like to fight here.
Yeah. Guys, this isn't a really good thing, is it? What are we going to do?
Maybe we shouldn't bet, you know, on Karen.
How are we going to get these people out of here?
I mean, we could bet on Karen and, like, bankrupt them if she just, you know, if she ends up doing really well.
How about this? How about we have Karen challenge Carol, the chief guy?
As you ask what to do, you hear the very wet sound of someone basically being stabbed, and you look over to see one of the pastry guys has killed the wife.
Maybe we should have been.
There is fanfare and they announce that, "Congratulations, what is his name?" And they sort of whisper in the background and they say, "Congratulations, Colin, that is your fourth win. would you wish to join the red side? And you see this, like, nodding from this guy in the pit. He is then picked up out of the pit. You see them take his hand and brand it. And then you see he is led into a tent at the back by Kirill. What do you do?
Well, obviously we should have acted a bit quicker in that situation. So, I mean, that's the takeaway I've got from this, guys. You know, maybe a little bit more speed and less haste, or whichever way around that goes, that's like...
Back yeah. Where those people are.
Are we going to man up now and just fight our way? Or are we going to...
Like, I've been ready this whole time!
Or do you want me to sneak through and see what's behind that room?
I mean, I'm assuming it's just like a kind of like real chill VIP area.
I don't know.
It needs investigating.
Meg's gonna just casually walk over in that direction and then stealthily take her head in.
Roll to see what you see. Natural 20!
Okay.
You manage to sneak your way in very stealthily, you don't get noticed, and then you see this guy, who I think I called Colin, walk into the room. He sort of sits down in a chair, and they seem to have like stripped him from the waist. It's kind of like a sort of dancing succubus kind of girl. Sort of dances around him, and then she sinks her teeth deep into his neck.
Meg hastily retreats.
And as you retreat, you hear a wolf howl coming from the tent.
I'm assuming we can all outside the tent hear the wolf howl.
You can hear the wolf howl, yeah. And as you do this, several people around you all wolf howl as well.
I, like, gently tug Rosie and Osmond really, really close to me and be like, guys, she just... I think we have a vampire. Yeah, she just bit his neck.
I mean, I don't want to kink shame anyone, but...
More from them.
She just chunked out on his neck and, yeah...
That's how they become immortal then.
I think that's pretty much sums it up.
About 30 to 40 seconds later, Carol walks out and says, Colin has become one of us, another brother wolf. And he holds a sort of tankard up and everyone sort of wolf howls again and drinks.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not saying this to Carol, I'm saying this to Meg and Rosie. But a vampire is really big on wolves? I always thought that was werewolves.
I've got my history book, so can I roll for a reference to wolves being used as protection against vampires?
Roll.
Oh,
you
Meg's
don't find anything
roll.
About that, but you do find that the mention of Kirill and Emil is mentioned in the book, and they are talk about being the bandit leaders, and they are a pair of brother werewolves.
Guys, check this out. These two are already known.
Wow, they're like famous.
What are we going to do? Karen's going to end up being a werewolf if she wins. The only shit idea I have is to start a rumour around the crowd. Freak people out into like hysteria.
Well, here's the thing is that like he just had that Colin dude kill his brother's wife. I mean, there's obviously these guys aren't getting along. Which
yeah. What if
the statement of the day?
The rumour is that it was totally planned because Errol totally has a crush on Kirill.
What far too much JRPG stuff, Lori?
Not to kink anyone. Gay werewolves are fine.
Could we start a fire in part of the camp and as a distraction and then try and get
so that? Yes, that is an amazing idea.
I don't know, we could start a fire and or me and Osmond could distract them by like doing a tune or something and I don't know. But we need to get Karen out.
Yeah, we need to get once Karen gets out to fight again, we'll start a fire and hysteria will...
You hear them announce that now fighting, we have Tomas and Karen.
Oh God, guys.
Karen's matches up with Raven.
You better get prim, boy, that last boy got lucky.
So, Karen has now ended up in the pit again with this, again, scrawny-looking wretch. Are you doing anything? Do you notice a flurry towards the betting odds?
I'm going to clothesline him.
He shouts to Karen, give us your matches!
Okay. Karen runs towards and tries to clothesline him. It doesn't have any effect. He just no-sells it.
He's a strong boy.
You notice that there is a flurry of betting on Tomas.
I want to bet heavily on Karen.
Okay, how much do you want to bet? She's currently going 11 to 1.
11 to 1. I'll drop 50 gold on Karen.
Okay. Tomas fails again to try and punch Karen, so it's Karen.
Can I Mike Tyson his ear?
Sure. Yes, you bite off his ear. He screams, and let's see how it affects him. He's more determined now that you've done that. But he is very angry, and he swings to punch you, and he connects with your jaw. So Karen is slightly stunned, but it's her turn.
Just like spit out his ear.
Don't make me a fool, Karen.
Come on, Karen.
I will try and tackle him to the ground.
Karen runs forward with a full body tackle, takes him down and starts wailing into his face.
I'm going to nudge Tubbs and be like, right.
Tubbs?
I'm sorry. Osmond even. Right, I'm going to...
I have many names.
Do we have any matches? No, Karen's the only one with matches, isn't she?
Yeah, she's the only one who can spark up.
I'm going to try and get close to the cage then and get Karen's matches on for him.
Okay. Are there anyone just torches Karen. Hanging around?
Tomas kicks Karen off and rolls back to his feet. What's Karen doing?
I'm going to try and punch him right in the throat.
Okay, roll. Nope. He dodges you with ease, and in return, he swings and misses.
Can Rosie go get a torch? Okay. About? So, quietly smashes it on the floor.
Just directly at your feet, floor.
Is there like any...
The wine, they were drinking wine, or like some red liquid, weren't they?
I don't think wine's that flammable, to be honest.
Is there like a pile of sawdust or something, or...?
Well, everything's sort of surrounded by like fur and oil, so yeah.
Well, there's a lot of oil. Oil burns.
Yeah, go for that then.
Okay, it's Karen's turn for the fight.
Elbow him in the ribs.
Okay. You smash him in the ribs, you again hear a sound of bones breaking. He responds by basically trying to kick your knee out.
Come on, Karen!
Does my knee stain?
You go down to one knee, but you get back up.
I'm going to go back for the ribs, with the hope that I can drive one through his lungs.
Okay. You crack him in the ribs again, he goes down hard and starts wheezing. He's just basically like on his knees now, wheezing heavily, and you notice him start spitting blood.
Can I mug for the crowd?
Can you what?
Mug for the crowd. Play the crowd.
God, roll.
Wait,
you
in
play
the first
in the crowd
one...
and start doing the your arms out, waving them, and then you do the like strongman gimmick and everything that the crowd all love. The crowd start booing.
Karen, this isn't the time.
And Tomas gets up, charges you, tackles you down, and starts wailing into your face.
My nose has already been broken once today. Try and knee him in the junk from.
Okay.
Cool.
I was wondering how long it was going to take for one of those blows.
I had like three husbands, I know how to knee a man in the junk.
You knee him in the junk and he doesn't seem to do anything.
Oh no, he's a eunuch.
He continues to just wail into your face.
Oh, can I pull him down and try and headbutt him?
You can, yes. You headbutt him, you connect, but you seem to dizzy yourself slightly more than you do to him. Natural one. You thought he wasn't dizzy, but then he just seems to sort of collapse backwards and he starts wheezing very heavily as blood is bubbling from his mouth.
I'm going to get on top of him and try and choke him out.
Alright, roll. You land on top of him and start choking him. He's got very little of response. He's basically like unconscious, but he seems to get another lease of life that just hooks you right in the side of the face. You spin around and land on the ground next to him, but he's too exhausted to get up. He's just wheezing and coughing up blood.
This is a brutal fight.
Meg's like watching it between her fingers going, guys, we need to do something.
Right, it's like Karen who's lying again in the mud. She's been clocked in the head.
It's like a rock I can find.
Yeah, what were the circumstances in the first fight? Was there some event? Yeah, I know, but I mean like the dude got chucked a knife. Did that seem to be cool?
Yeah. It just seemed to be if someone threw a weapon in it, it was cool.
Okay, I chuck Karen my cheese grater.
Cheese grater! No!
Okay. Karen rolled the catch and used the cheese grater. Natural one. Karen tries to grab the cheese grater and ends up slicing through her finger.
The fuck kind of cheese grater is this?
A well cared for one.
Oh no!
Tomas gets up to his feet, grabs the cheese grater and starts going properly onto Karen's head with the cheese grater.
Oh shit, I might have made a mistake, guys.
Can I crossbow the guy from the crowd?
You can try and shoot him if you want, but you might get the guards turning on you.
Don't care anymore.
Yeah, our friend needs our help.
You shoot the guy from afar, it goes through his neck, he goes and he falls down dead.
Karen,
the crowd all turn to you and start booing as Karen gets up, and like the top of Karen's head has got like obvious cheese grater marks now.
I had him on the ropes, guy.
Everyone, and she's like, "There's a fire!"
I had him on the ropes.
Okay, roll to see how bad the fire is.
Karen, throw me about my cheese grater.
Okay, the fire is big enough that everyone kinda goes, "Oh fuck, there's a fire," and doesn't get angry at you. A lot of them run forward to try and put the fire out.
I don't think you get your cheese grater back.
Oh, fuck. I jumped into the pit to get my cheese grater.
Okay, so you have your cheese grater back. It's covered in like chunks of Karen. Karen is like pissing blood out of her head.
I'll wash it off later.
Get Karen.
Wanna find the
I'm like gonna
shaman
tear.
So I can fix my scale.
I'm just gonna walk up to Karen, tear a bit of her maid outfit off, and use it as a makeshift bandage, and be like, "What the hell are you thinking?"
Tie it around her face.
Tie it around her face.
Okay.
There can't be much left of that outfit by now.
Are you gonna like haul Karen away before they put her back in a cage?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, this running
the fire. So you haul Karen away as the fire starts quite dramatically. You hear Carol jumping up and down shouting, "No! The fights must go on! Need more blood!"
How about we burn down his tent as well?
Yeah, that too.
I thought that's what you were burning down.
Oh,
let's just burn down everything.
Okay.
I don't know why we didn't just burn the place down.
Okay, as you set fire to Carol's camp, you notice that everything has caught fire, including the barricade between the blue and red. As that begins to fall, you manage to sneak into the blue side of the camp, while all the blue guards seem to be putting out the fire, and you notice the guy who obviously is Emil, because you've seen his picture, as I said, he is shouting, "A plot! A plot! They've come to get me! You won't get me! You won't get me!"
I mean, was going to get you.
We're going to actually get you.
Do not see how well I did in that fight. Can I just point out how statistically unlikely it was for me to do that badly? Those are some awful rolls. The highest was like 14.
Can I try and crossbow the guy again?
You're in a different part of the camp at the moment now.
He's a werewolf. Have we got anything silver?
One half of the camp is on significant fire, and you notice that the Emil guy is like running around, basically like shrieking, like the world's out to get him.
I mean, we were hired to come deal with this, so technically it is.
Right, my mace is specifically a tacky mace, right? Would it be tacky? Perhaps in part because it is inlaid with silver?
Ooh,
I think
like
if I remember right, it had like gold looking veins through it.
That's the one that isn't silver.
I inspect my bread knife. Does it look
silver? The ceremonial daggers.
Oh, yeah, the ceremonial daggers.
Okay.
That spoon you got might have been silverware. You did steal it from a really fancy house.
That's true, yeah.
The ceremonial daggers do seem to have some kind of silver on them.
Oh, that's good then.
Well, the spoons are back up, just in case.
Yeah, spoons are back up.
It is hard to act with a spoon.
I was going to come up behind him and just try and jam a spoon in the back of his neck.
Is that Emil?
No, this is my plan B in case the daggers don't work.
Okay, so currently you're sort of standing away from the fire while the red and blue sides are fighting over whose fault it is that the camp's burning down. What are the rest of you do?
Are we going to assassinate these guys, right?
I mean, I'm pretty
miffed. All we can do at this point.
Yeah.
I think we just
I'm pretty miffed, and so I wouldn't mind doing these guys in.
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's get into our superhero, our CSI Barovia lineup.
Yeah, no, we're the best investigators in Barovia. No one will catch us when we're the murderers.
Exactly. We don't leave evidence behind.
It's really easy for us to falsify criminals.
So, at the moment, you could go into Emil's tent, or you could go to the wall where the fighting's going on, or you can go back into the fire region where Carol possibly is. What do you do?
Well, there's one next to us, so why don't we deal with him first and then...
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan, I think.
Okay.
Start with the one that's closest.
So, you go into Emil's tent, you notice already that he's not here, but you did see him run into here.
Okay.
So there must be something, you know, hidden from view. What do you do?
Perception.
Perception check.
I've got an idea.
Nope.
Please say it.
I call out, "My Lord Emil, your brother attacks. We need your help." In like a sort of voice similar to like the guys who were on the gate.
Natural 20, okay. You notice the carpet on the floor pop up and you see this sort of like bedraggled looking man go, "He'll never catch me! He'll never catch me!
I stab him in the top of the head.
I'll stay here, kill him!" And he just pops back down again.
I was going to say, as soon as he pops up, I stab him in the top of the head with the ceremonial dagger.
Roll to stab him in the head.
Top of the head.
Oh my god.
You stab through next to him and he was like, look down under the carpet and the blade's about 2 inches off his head.
Instead of going for his head, Meg's going to go for the trap, the carpet, so that he can't like go back underneath the...
Well, basically, he's like popped up and a trapdoor under the carpet.
Okay, well, I'm going to stab up the trapdoor and stab him.
There was a test to make sure that your brother's assassins couldn't get you.
You hear a shriek, like paranoia, and this guy like throws back the trapdoor and just runs, arms waving forward, going, "Guards! Guards! We need more torches! 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 Torches!"
I roll to try and tackle him.
You can roll to tackle him, yes. Yes, you manage to tackle him. You take him down. He frantically begins to try and kick to get away, but you have got him tackled.
Murder him!
So everyone else roll to try and take this guy down.
Should we just like set him on fire? I'm pretty sure that kills werewolves too.
Okay, Meg swings with her ceremonial daggers and stabs him. He shrieks loudly and begins to bleed.
I mean, I'm just going to throw a match on him just to be sure.
Are you going to set him on fire, Karen?
Yeah.
Oh god, okay. So, you set Emma on fire. He's on fire and bleeding from a silver wound. He kicks you all off, shrieks and runs off as he's basically singeing to death.
I mean, it's pretty sprightly for a candle.
Yeah. As you do that, you hear a meow.
Cat! Cat! I'm picking up kitty.
Meow.
That's a secondary. The dude's familiar. Yeah, we need to take that cat. We need that cat.
We need to take the cat. We need to take the cat.
It's coming from through the trapdoor.
Meg's going to go into the trapdoor.
Okay. You open the trapdoor and you look down. Inside the trapdoor is a large brass table. There are basically restraints on all four legs of the table, and there is an array of torture tools, like a vast, vast array of torture tools. And on the wall, there are several like racks and cages and stuff like that. In the back, there is a door leading to a containment center. In that containment center, there is a girl on all fours who's looking at you and going, "Meow."
I back slowly away.
That don't look like no cat.
Okay.
Hey, look, our mistake. Whenever you're into, it's cool. But oh no, we just killed him, didn't we? I'm sure he'll be back in a minute.
That ain't the apprentices.
Yeah, I thought I was about to say,
oh, right.
Is that not the apprentice?
That's the other possibility.
So, because she's a familiar. So, Meg's
you going
go
to examine this girl, or are you just going to stare at it from across the room as it mirrors at you?
Meg's going to go over and like check her over, make sure she's not
okay.
She, and then
basically you go over and you notice she is sitting down on all fours and she's like licking the back of her hand and like cleaning herself with it.
Well, she's acting a lot like a cat.
She's
cat girl.
Cat, isn't she? Yeah. Well, let's just unchain her then. You alright there, kitty?
Meow.
There isn't like a skin tight leather suit and like a whip for her, is there?
No, she seems to be in, it looks like, quite remarkable finery.
I see. So, I'm stuck between...
As Osmond gets near, she spits at him.
Oh, she doesn't like you.
Well, you know, it's the horns.
Yeah, they kind of freak cats out, don't they?
It's true, yeah.
Hey there, kitty, kitty, kit, kit.
Meow.
Yeah, meow. How you doing?
Meow.
Can I go to very cautiously pet her?
You pet her through the bars. Rash? She does that thing cats do of letting you pet her, then move just far enough away that you can't.
Oh, you can tell you're a cat person.
Do you have any like rations or anything on us?
I mean, I got some cigarettes.
No, we're not giving her cigarettes, Karen. I'm talking like, I don't know. Did anyone pack a sandwich?
I mean, she ain't actually a cat. It's not really immoral to give her a cigarette.
Is there any food lying about that I can give her?
You notice at the side there's a dish of food. Seems to be some kind of meat that she seems to have half eaten.
Is there a name on the bowl?
No.
Is there a name on a necklace that's around her neck?
Shape of a fish.
You look at her neck. When you examine her neck, she does have jewellery on her, and it does seem to be like some sort of significant jewellery around her neck, but that's all you can really tell.
Okay. Significant jewellery.
As in, it's not cheap jewellery. It looks like an heirloom.
Right.
I mean, she's either the guy that Ricky was talking about at this before, the girl that went missing, his cat, or his apprentice.
Either way, I think we should bring her with us.
Yeah, let's get this girl out of here.
How? So should we leave her here until we deal with upstairs? Well,
we do have another werewolf brother to kill, don't we?
Yeah. Let's go deal with him first and then come back.
Okay.
Okay, so what we're going to do, I feel like this plan that I did wasn't completely terrible. So what do you say we give it another try?
Yeah, it was pretty satisfying to set him on fire too.
Yeah, let's do
As
that.
As you're leaving the area that the cat girl's in, you notice there's a very large book that seems to have been scrawled in. And it seems to be the detailed confessions of every subject that's ever been tortured in this room.
Oh, this could be useful.
Yeah, maybe we should take this.
Yeah, Meg pockets that.
It's like one of those like giant, you know, when they get like the huge Bibles are like handwritten.
Yeah, look at giant stuff like
that. It's that size. It's massive.
Could we rip out
you
the
could,
pages?
You can carry it, but you can't like throw it in a pocket or anything.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna strap it to my chest.
Fucking bulletproof, yeah.
So just in case I get hit in the chest by anything, I have like a little bit of added protection.
You know, in like a movie where there's like the surprise reveal of he had his Bible in his pocket the whole time, except it's not very surprising.
Yes, Ben's gonna do that.
It's like that, except instead of like a Bible in your pocket, it's like you were stood behind a library.
It's just basically what's his face in Clint Eastwood in that movie where he uses the bulletproof thing for his
Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
Yes, that one. Fist of that.
And also Back to the Future Part 3.
Death that too.
So on the torture table.
Yeah.
Is there anything that looks like it would be good for punching people with?
There are a couple of daggers that have got like the finger holes to them, so they're basically like knuckle dusters with dagger attached.
A trench knife.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'll take a trench knife. More for the trench part than the knife part, to be honest.
Is there enough for all of us?
On this table, there's like any kind of like saw and blade and thing that you'd ever want. Of varying degrees of size, and all of them are razor sharp.
Honestly, I feel like Karen favours more blunt things.
In fact, is there a wand at all for tubs that we can take back?
Or
is there anything magical?
No, it's all very much physical. As you sort of look through everything, there is a very large bucket of salt as well.
I mean, salt is very valuable. How big
a little cart!
How big a bucket of salt are we talking?
Roll to examine the salt.
Is it like holy salt or something?
Oh my god, it's like Overwatch. There's so much salt.
You look at the salt, you realise from running your hand through the salt is not just salt. It seems to be salt with chili and ground glass thrown through it.
Ooh, don't want that on your chin.
I mean, you had us up until broken glass.
This is literally, like, the worst thing you could get in a wound.
Yeah, probably doesn't sell for much, does it?
No.
Yeah, it's like what Dennis used to cut his product with.
Oh, God. So, are you going to fight the other werewolf, or are you dealing cat girl, or what?
Well, we need to deal with him. I think if we leave one of them alive, then he's just going to take over the whole lot of them.
Oh, will we go kill that other guy?
I mean, I do like his style with the whole fire pit thing, but I think it might be a little power crazy too.
Yeah.
Just a smidge.
We should deal with him. We can come back for the cat girl. I was going to say stay, but can't really tell cats to stay, can you?
You can leave her locked up in the cage.
That's true. Yeah, that could work.
See you later, kitty.
We'll be back. Don't worry.
Okay, so you run back upstairs. What are you doing now?
I want to see what sort of state the fire's in.
I hope it didn't fall on him.
Did we actually check that dude died? I know we stabbed him and set him on fire and then stabbed him again, but like...
That tends to kill people.
You never can tell with werewolves.
I mean, you ran away. You can chase him, I can't be honest.
Nah, that's fine. Although we probably should check.
Well, I don't
like, if he was up and running, then it's probably, you know, we seem to have a habit
of, like, leaving, like, the people behind injured, like the witches and the pastry lovers and stuff.
It's true, it's kind of our calling card.
At least two of the three witches were definitely killed.
Yeah, like,
The job is kind of our thing.
What are you doing now?
Well, we want to see what the state of the fire is.
Basically, because everything is made of wood, fur, and oil, it's not really been that flame retardant.
Right,
should we be concerned about the fire spreading to, say, a girl who seems to think she's a cat in a cage? Like, hypothetically, should that be a concern?
In fairness, she was kept in a different part of the camp from the other, and they don't talk to each other, so...
Okay. Nah, I think she'll be okay.
Maybe she doesn't leave very long.
Worst comes to worst, that jewelry is probably pretty fireproof.
Is that all you care about, Karen?
It won't be a complete loss.
Well, silver linings and all that.
Unless it melts.
Or in this case, gold linings. Maybe with a couple sapphires.
Right, so let's go find this guy then. Okay. The fire's not too bad, it's gone halfway.
Okay, so you go back through and basically you notice that there's several of them that have caught fire and burnt down. There are several of them desperately trying to put the fires out. And then there are several of them that are just fighting with the other faction.
I see
so
the guy.
So basically fights have broken out now.
I see the guy.
Where'd that arrow bar go?
Emo basically is on fire and like burning into a hole.
Where'd the other one go?
Yeah, where did it... Do we see his brother?
Carol is sort of wandering around. He's not fighting, but he's just shouting, more blood, more blood.
Okay, so he's pro-fight.
Yeah. Hey, Carol, I got some blood for you right here. And I'm going to go and punch him in the jaw with my new trench knife.
Okay, roll.
For fuck's
you
sake.
Swing, Carol goes, challenge accepted! And he draws a very large sword... and just sort of points it at you.
I want to try and throw my ceremonial knife, like cool kind of end of Ren, kind of, and right at his head.
Okay, roll. It well, spins end over end, slams him right in the side of the temple, and he just sort of like, one eye starts rolling up, one starts rolling down, and he just starts going, blah, and then collapses into a heap.
See, that's what I meant to do with the other guy.
I throw much at him.
So, now what?
That's that one. Is
Carol just setting everyone on fire now?
We've released the arsonist in her.
Oh god, no, not again.
I'm still bitter from that time I didn't manage to start a forest fire.
So, you've now killed both the brothers. Are you going back to get the cat girl?
Yeah, let's grab the cat lady and get the hell out of Dodge.
Okay. The camp is in complete disarray. Are you letting any of the prisoners out, or are you just leaving them?
I do feel slightly responsible for them.
Should we make, like, some sort of proclamation about how, like, these dead and, like, new leaders and shit? Because, like, we don't want lieutenant rising. Yeah, we don't want, like, some lieutenant rising.
That's a good call.
Okay, so basically everyone is still fighting in the middle. What are you doing?
The champion who won two fights very fairly. Hereby declare you all free.
Basically, they all just ignore you. They all just completely ignore you, and they just, like, continue to, like, scrap and roll around. They don't bother with you. They're either too busy fighting the fire or fighting with each other.
Checks out.
I say we just let out the prisoners and they can do what the damn well please.
Yeah, they're probably going to end up killing themselves in the process anyway, so let's get
them. Yeah, screw them.
So, we'll
let
the prisoners as we leave and pick up
Cat Girl. Yeah, so, roll to release the prisoners. You crack open all the cages and release all the prisoners. They all kind of roll out and then they start joining the fight and start fighting with each other.
Well, we tried.
Of course they do.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we tried all.
Karen pulls herself away from fighting.
Okay. So, are you going to get Cat Girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, how are you going to deal with Cat Girl when you release her?
Catgirl's not the werewolf that was, like, eating the winner, was she?
No.
That was on the other side of the camp. That was in red camp. Catgirl's in blue camp.
Could we, like, keep it in the cage? Does the cage have, like, wheels?
No, the cage was, like, a sort of containment cage.
Does anybody have, like, a leash or, like, a belt? Could we use our belt to, like...
I mean, I definitely do not have a belt.
That rope? Have we got rope?
We should have rope.
I mean, there's probably a rope in the torture room. I feel like torture rooms get a lot of rope.
Has she got like a collar or something?
No, she doesn't. As I said, she's just got the jewelry around her neck.
Okay. But
as you sort of look at her, you do notice that she's wearing incredibly customed... Her robes are incredibly custom, as in, they seem to be adapted for her being a cat.
Yeah.
Hey, kitty, 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 you know a guy called Ricky.
Adapted to her being a cat. So you mean like there's like a tail hole and stuff?
It seems to basically be like they've got a suit they've sewn her into.
Okay.
That's padded at the knees and padded so that she can wear it, like giving her all the movement she needs while still being able to like be a cat.
Okay.
I thought dogs hated cats because like wolves are kind of like dogs.
Because what are kind of like dogs?
Because like wolves are kind of like dogs. Or of awkward silence.
This you got the awkward silence you reserve for Tubbs.
Come on for the team.
Okay, so what do you do now?
Well, I guess set back off towards Rictavio's tower, right? There's nothing else for.
Okay.
Like, we're not attempting to save any more of the prisoners and that, you know, if they're just going to turn around and start fighting and things.
When you release Catgirl, she tries to climb onto one of you and, like, cuddle in like a cat would.
Like,
who is it?
She really hates Osmond. Something about Osmond she really doesn't like.
Well, you know.
Obviously, like the tiefling thing.
Whenever she sees Osmond, she spits at him and she swings.
I strum a chord on my guitar.
She just again just spits at you.
Okay, so it's not the guitar. She just generally doesn't like me.
Mm-hmm. Who is she on, actually? Is she, like, climbing on?
Well, who let her out? It's either going to be you, Karen, or Rosie, because she doesn't like Osmond.
Meg will let her out, and Meg will have her climbing over. I'm just going to, like, hold her to my side. Be like, just stay there.
Okay, so you're now carrying this teenage girl with you.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to fireman lift her over my shoulder. There we go.
Okay, so you run back to Rictavio's tower as the camp continues to burn down. As you get back, you realise you can't carry this girl up a rope ladder. So, do you call up for help, or do you just try and, like, manhandle her up there?
Ricky.
We found your cat.
Yeah, let's call up.
Rictavio looks down and says, that's not my cat.
It is now.
Yeah, it's nearby.
We got you.
After a couple of minutes of faffing around, you manage to get the cat up there, and she's sort of wandering around on all fours, like, as a sort of, like, meow, meow, meow. As the rest of you are sitting, explaining to Rictavio what's happened.
Yeah, we figured you'd miss your old cat so much, we'll find you a new one.
It's, interesting, I'll give you that. What happened to her? She's got several marks on her arms.
She was in, like, a kind of torture cage place.
Cult thing.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Any idea what happened to her while she was there?
I mean, I took this nav, so maybe you can figure it out.
He's quite sort of confused by what to do about it. Did you find any, like, reference or anything as to what happened to her?
Oh, I found a book.
Thing, yeah.
Which is strapped to my chest still, I've just remembered.
Oh. I lent her this necklace to calm her down, but I should probably get that back.
Okay, are you taking the necklace off, Karen?
Yes.
Okay. Meg looks through the book. The book describes that they kidnapped her. They have a date for when she was kidnapped. They said she was lifted from the streets of Valaki. She was wearing noble garb, so she must be worth quite a lot of money.
Oh, do we think this is the girl from Valaki?
But yeah, she. So every time they ask her anything, she only responds with cat meows. They can't get her to speak normal language. They have tried burning her, they have tried cutting her, they have tried several different things, and she still only responds with cat noises. They don't know what to do with her. They can't work out who the fuck she is, and it's driving them mental.
What was the deal with that girl who was locked in the basement? Yeah. You know, the one whose mum was, like, crying the whole time. Was she into cats? I vaguely...
No, but she was, like, 17.
That was in Barovia, so no, that wasn't her.
Oh, I thought that was Valaki. Okay, don't worry.
No, she was 17. Is this not the Valaki leader's daughter that they've been looking for?
I thought it was that, but I just thought it was a long shot because I couldn't remember the place names.
It's one of them.
It's one of them.
It's one of them. And narrows it down.
There's a lot of missing teenagers in this place.
He's been magicked into a cat.
So, Rictavio says he will attempt to find out if anyone is missing a meowing cat from Valaki.
Can you change her back to a human? Or?
She's completely humanoid. She's just, I mean, like, she just basically just keeps meowing like a cat.
Maybe she's just a furry.
May's gonna pet the bird again.
I'm gonna tune my guitar.
So the bird is quite content, getting affection from Meg. Osmond is getting used to his guitar. Rosie doing anything?
No, Rosie's just going to sit down and chill.
With the cat girl like, rubbing against her leg and purring. She still really Rosie. Hates Osmond.
The bell tolls. The end is nigh. For this week, at least. Join us again next week for more of our tale. This podcast is an adaptation of Curse of Strahd, a 5th edition D&D adventure. It was adapted from the original story by Nikolai Pupsky. The podcast features Nikolai, Amy, Bellry, AJ, Lexa, and Matt. All music was written and performed by Daniel Boström. Artwork was by John Moore.